have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch.
You can't stop it.
I gotta say that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased. Next message.
We're still here. Enjoy it.
It's ODG, Occupy Dave and Giggles.
End of message. Next message.
Right, seriously, yes. Guys, Fort.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out. You look so good right now.
Give me a chant you want to lead.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Really big.
Falling apart. I got this thing that I consider my only art of fucking people over. My boss just quit the job. Says he's going out to find the blind spots and he'll do it. The third planet is sure and they're being washed by an eye in the sky and the campus stops. When you get to the promised land, you're gonna shake the eye's hand. Your heart felt good. It was dripping pitch and made of wood. And your hands and knees felt cold and land on the grass beneath. Well, outside naked, shivering, looking blue from the cold sunlight that's reflected off the moon. And baby, come angels fly around you, reminding you we used to be three and not two. And that's how the world began. And that's how. That a son was at a daughter, and it occurred to me that the animals were swimming around in the water, and the oceans in our bodies, and another had been found, another ocean on the planet, given that our blood is just like the Atlantic, and how well, the universe is shaped exactly like the earth. If you go straight long enough, you'll end up where you were, and the universe is shaped exactly like the earth. If you go straight long enough, you'll end up. The universe is shaped exactly like the earth. Your heart felt good. It was dripping pitch and made of wood. And your hands and knees felt cold and wet on the grass to me. Well, outside naked, you shouldn't look at me from the coast.
Modest of the Mice. Yo, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
What's happening?
I'm hanging. Good to see you. This
good
is
to
like
see
an
and
hour.
Hear you.
It's a guaranteed hour with you.
Yeah, it's nice,
it's,
right?
It's what it is. Yeah.
We are Dave and Giggles. We are live for the next hour. Call in. Say hi. 718 928 9732. I got here in the nick of time. I went to go get a new phone today, and I went. There was two girls there. They were relatively pleasantly nice. They gave me a new phone. I went back, and I tried to like reinstall all my apps and contacts and everything, and it said, that phone is fucked. So I called up Verizon, and I said, hey, this won't connect to my computer, and she was like, bring it back. So it was a totally defective phone. Brought it back, and they were like, yeah, this phone's fucked. So they gave me a new one, and then they did the copy there, and it took like an hour and a half for them to copy all my stuff, get it on there, and it was like 6:30, and I was like, damn, I got to move. So I went, and I called an Uber right away, and I called an Uber, and I mistakenly put in Uber Pool, which means they're going to pick up other people. And I was like, God damn it. I really screwed this up. So they pick up this one dude like one block away from me. And he's like the hipsteriest hipster I've ever seen. He's wearing a leather jacket. He's got a scraggly beard. He's got this weird haircut, glasses. And he gets in and immediately he starts getting on Tinder and just swiping as fast as he could.
Jeez.
It was just amazing.
Sitting next to you. Like, yeah, he didn't even want to talk to you.
Nope.
That, like, we've lost the human connection.
Lost it completely.
There's no more.
Yeah, he just was
touch.
Swiping as fast as he could. And then I think as soon as he was like ran out of swipes on that, he moved to another dating site and started swiping on that one. It would
have been awesome if like your picture came up
and he just swiped on me. And then we picked up another girl. He looked at her for a second and then kept swiping. Like, he just didn't give a shit about anybody in the car. It was amazing. But I got my new phone. I don't know if it works. I got to figure it out after the show. I didn't have a chance to look at it. Here we are, live.
We've had
a lot of phone troubles. A lot
of
phone troubles.
It seems that phone troubles are kind of the new thing.
They are.
You know?
Right. Well, we put so much stock into phones that it's bound to any little slight hiccup is bound to mess you up for the day, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're expensive now. They're $800 to $1,000 for a phone.
Right.
For
a phone.
Did I tell you what happened to Mrs. Giggles on her birthday?
No, that was the other day, right? Your birthday was the other day as well.
Yeah, my birthday was Thursday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Hers was a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And we went to Chick-fil-A. You know, for her birthday. It was a nice Chick-fil-A lunch.
You brought the lady to Chick-fil-A for her birthday. That's amazing.
It was convenient. The kids like it. The kids like going in there and playing around. And who doesn't love a chicken sandwich?
Everybody loves it.
You know, there's a playground in there for the kids.
Sure.
They have all those Purell, the free wipes, which I grab like 7 to 8 of them.
Sure. You just wipe the kids down. Just wipe them down.
Just wipe them down and then, you know, take some for later.
Sure.
But anyways, after lunch, she put her phone, she had a white phone case, and we have a white car.
Uh-huh.
She put the phone case on the hood of the car.
Ooh.
And as she was doing that, she was like, oh, this is, she thought to herself, this is dumb. Like,
bad idea.
Because it just blends in to the car.
Gone.
And I wanted to take a selfie of the family because, you know, we were just hanging out. And she totally forgot the phone on the car. And I drove off. She was in the other car. I drove off. And apparently, my phone rang, and then like she didn't have her phone, so she just saw like me just driving off, and
she's panicked. I bet she panicked like crazy.
Yeah, she's like honking the horn. She's trying to like get my attention, and meanwhile, I took a phone call because it was a wedding planner, wanting to hire me for a gig, and so I was like, all right, I was excited, and then I get this call from her mom's phone, and I'm like, oh, that's weird. Her mom's calling me, and then so she. She's like, dude, I left my phone on your car. And I was like, oh, no, that sounds terrible.
Sounds really
that
bad.
Sounds terrible. That's horrible. Like leaving an expensive phone on the top of a car is horrible. You know,
that sounds terrible.
News. So I go into hero mode because I'm like, all right, well, I got to find it. I got to retrace my steps.
Sure.
You know, we've retraced our steps a couple times before. It's kind of fun.
We've done a good job.
We do a good job retracing our steps.
We sniffed it out. We found it.
We sniffed it out. And so anyways, I get the call. I'm like, all right, well, don't panic. It's just a phone.
Just a phone. Just $1,000 phone.
$1,000 iPhone. So I retrace the steps, and I'm with the boys in the back of the car. And I do the, you know, it's like, okay, here it is. And I find it. It's in the middle of the road. And I'm like, awesome. It's in the middle of the road. So I was like, maybe somebody hasn't crushed it. Maybe it's still safe, you know, and I could be the hero, walk into the nail salon and be like, I got the phone. I found it. So anyways, found the phone.
Yeah.
I pull the car over off to the side in a parking lot, run out, grab it. And I'm like, okay, hopefully it's still intact. And I look around it and there's just shards of glass.
Oh, and no.
I was like, oh man, that's terrible. That's horrible. And I pick it up and it's just run over.
Oh,
just
hundreds destroyed. Of times. Yeah.
Like, not even like, you know, sometimes you get the cracked screen.
Sure.
You drop it here and there. This is just destroyed.
Destroyed.
So
yeah, that's
so anyways,
rough. While I was in the Verizon store, some dude came in with a cracked phone and was like, "Hey, can I get this fixed?" And she's like, "Honestly, it's easier if you lost it, because apparently, like, if it's cracked, it's like much more of a hassle. You're going to be without a phone longer. You're going to have to send it away instead of them just sending you a new one." She's like, "Just claim it lost, and that'll be the end of it. It's easier that way."
There's so many phones. There's so. What do you think about this? This whole revelation, well, you know, we've known that they bug phones for a while, you know.
Sure.
If you have, you know, internet, you have an internet, you know, an IP address.
Yeah.
You have a phone, you have a digital record of
everything.
Your conversations.
Yeah, I mean, everything
in the
is...
numbers. Like, it's no surprise that they can, they have to have the technology to listen in on you.
Right.
Like, there's no, you know. So I don't know why people are so surprised.
Right.
That's what kind of like gets me.
We were talking about this the other day on the phone. And like, if you don't know that you're being surveillanced to any degree, then you're living under a rock, because that's what we're doing now. Like, everything is being recorded. Everything is just, we should know that we're out there. We just hope that our information isn't being sold.
What if we're the only listeners to our show? You know,
so it could
word
be
out there.
Could
we
be.
Could be.
Here's
we do
the,
have some listeners. If you do want to see, I think people sort of get not afraid, but they're just hesitant to call in because they're like, "What are we going to talk about?" I was like, "If you guys want to plug something, you got something going on, you got
just
a show.
Call up.
We're kind of an international. I want to say mostly national.
We're
show.
Mostly national.
Mostly.
So here's
we've
the.
Got a few international.
I'm going to see if I could get this to play, but this is the Alexa. What I was telling you the other day about the Alexa being connected to the CIA.
Alexa. Would you lie to me?
I always try to tell the truth. I'm not always right, but I would never intentionally lie to you or anyone else.
Alexa, what is the CIA?
The United States Central Intelligence Agency, CIA.
Alexa, are you connected to the CIA? Alexa, are you connected to the CIA?
And it just beeps. Like, it doesn't answer. It doesn't say, "I don't understand what you're saying to me." It just says, "I'm just going to keep shush on this one." So since then, a lot of people have started doing it, and it says... it says something like, I'm not owned by the CIA. I am owned by Amazon. So they've corrected that since then. But yes, it definitely, that's like the easiest thing too, because I have one and it's like the easiest thing in the world. That microphone is always on. So they
that's
could just
what I
record.
Don't like. I don't like always having a microphone on.
Right. But your phone is. Remember we had on Mike Sorrentino talking about his invention of the iPhone thing where it closed the camera. It put a thing over the camera when you're not using it. Remember that? But that was part of the thing, because it's all, if your camera's on, your camera's viewable and your microphone is on your phone. If your phone is on, it could record all the time. There's nothing from stopping it from recording everything that happens 100% of the time. It's bizarre.
Can we get a caller?
I haven't heard a caller. I'm going to throw this out for to see if anyone wants to chime in on this one. If you want to call in, 718-928-9732. Lately, so Dylan, on the way home the other day, found a Wii in the garbage, the old Nintendo system. So we've cracked Nintendo so that we have every Nintendo game known to man that we could play through the Wii. What is the best Nintendo game you remember? Like old school NES Nintendo game.
So I would think like Contra. I was a big fan of Contra.
Contra's great.
I could beat it. You know, you get the code up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, B, A, select, start. And you could get, I think, 30 to 50 lives.
Yeah.
So you could beat it. Like, I don't think I've ever beaten Contra on three lives, like the normal, because it's tough.
I mean, it's very tough.
Have some serious enemies.
Yeah.
But it's a cool game where, like, I want it to be that Rambo guy.
Yeah, totally.
I want it to be, like, holding a gun in the woods.
Yeah.
You know, with bulging muscles. Who doesn't?
Who doesn't want that? I mean, that's the idea. It came out during that time where, like, the idea of this, like, one warrior taking on the entire stormtroopers, as it were. And you're that dude. Everyone wanted to be that dude. Everyone wanted to be the guy who took everyone out. You know?
Totally. The Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris
missing in
totally
action.
Saved the day for me in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, like watching action movies like Chuck Norris.
Missing in action.
Was my guy.
That was a big one. Yeah. And I even had, like, as I started to get a little older, they gave me the Rambo knife that when you opened it up on the bottom, it had a compass in it. It had like a wire cutter.
I had the same knife.
Yeah. Everyone had that knife. It was such a great knife.
It was
camouflaged.
It is a good knife.
It was. So I want to open that up. You call up and tell us what your favorite Nintendo game was. 718-928-9732. Everyone always says, I don't know what to talk about when I call. Here's something to talk about. Everyone has a favorite Nintendo game that they played when they were young. Am I right?
I'd hope so. Well, in our generation. I mean, not everybody.
Not everybody, but most people. But
what
I mean,
think
now
our
they're coming.
Demographic is somebody. Dr. G asked me today. He was like, do you have a thing that says how many people listen to you? And I was like, I don't know. You know,
who knows?
I think they tell us like we've hit number one a couple times,
you know,
but we don't have view counts.
Right.
We don't know that.
I mean, with the old
system.
I'd say
like 18. I'm going to guess 18.
18's not bad.
I'll just say it. Well, 18's maybe 12.
maybe 12, maybe 18. Somewhere in that vicinity. But who knows? Call up and tell us if you're listening. That's all we ask.
Yeah.
So what else is going on? What else has been the thing of the week?
I went to a farm yesterday, which is kind of fun. Saw the kids feed some sheep. And saw some alpacas and the horses. Like, you know, horses, and I stepped into the ring with there was a couple of horses. And they're like kind of like, you know, work horses. You know, they're not the show horses or the kicking horses. You know, they're friendly horses.
Yeah.
This one dude, this horse looked like a Rastafarian. He had this, I think he was a Shetland or something. He had the really long hair just all in front of his eyes. And I was like, you look like a hippie horse. But
was it groomed or was it just like a massive mane?
Who was like a mane? It was kind of like a, you know, it looked cool because he was like dark brown and this was blonde. And I was like, wow, that's a really interesting looking horse.
You were very attracted to said horse.
You know, I think anytime you can kind of like be in the ring with an animal or in nature with an animal. Oh, and then we saw wild turkeys, which is really cool.
Oh.
Because I've had this lovely comparison of birds with dinosaurs. I like imagining birds today as dinosaurs.
They were. Dude. Raptors birds.
Way, way back when.
Of course.
Know. Yeah, a few thousand years ago.
Well, it was more than a few thousand. But yeah, according to the Bible, a few thousand years. Well, did they even exist in the Bible or no? How did they explain dinosaurs in the Bible?
No, I think there was like demons and dragons. But think about it. In like biblical days, you could scare the shit out of people. Like if you were like a band of people and you just went into some village and started like burning stuff or like killing people, like that's crazy to do that. I mean, we wouldn't do that nowadays.
What are you talking about? What do you think we're doing in the Middle East? We just go in and burn shit. It's what we did in Vietnam too.
Yeah, just burning shit.
Just burning shit. What's your point here? Just go in and burn shit? Are you talking about like dragons coming in and burning shit?
Yeah, yeah. Well, like dragons, you know, I think like mythical creatures, you know, the seafarers, you know, like the Vikings and stuff like that. Like I always like to, I don't know, think back into history. I think it's a fun
game
of like imagining stuff. You
know? I see what you're saying. So like if you're a Viking, right, and you come home after like 5 years out on the road, out on the water, and your kid, it was like born when you left, and then you come back and he's like 5 or 6 years old. And you're like, let me tell you the tales of the sea. There's serpents out there. There's these giant beasts that just try to eat people. So, like, the scare tactics of these Vikings to these kids, I'm sure was astounding. The stories they must have told because nobody had a clue back then of what was going on.
Oh, no. No. The ocean was like the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have maps, you know. I kind of wanted to be a cartographer. At one point in my life, to just draw maps.
I don't think that's the right word. Cartographer?
Cartographer? Somebody who draws maps.
Call up and tell us what that is. I don't think it's a cartographer.
Cartography is the art of making maps. And a cartographer...
I mean, this is where we need a producer, because there's no way it's called a cartographer.
We need someone to fact-check us, because right now we're just... Are you eating a sandwich?
No, I got a lifesaver.
Oh.
Cartography. I'm going to look this up. Cartography definition. What is it? Cartography.
It's making maps.
The science of or practice of drawing maps. Cartography. Well, there it is.
Told you.
Yeah, you're right.
Why,
it just didn't sound
me,
right. It
hey,
didn't
let's get
right.
on the same side. We may not be in the same state, but let's get on the same side. Come
so,
on.
As science tells us, right now it's 7:21. Last night, if it didn't happen, it would have been 6:21 here. So they pushed the hour ahead, right? Allegedly, there's something in the works for Colorado that from now on, they're not going to do. They're trying not to do. There's something in the legislation for not doing time zone changes in Colorado.
They should do it. I wish I knew more about that because I should be more
you should
politically
be tuned.
Involved. But yeah, I don't like it. I mean, I think there's no. I don't really have a good strong. You know.
Yeah, I didn't know much
I don't
about
know why
this.
We need it. Why do you got to change the time? Like you're
stupid.
You're not Superman.
You're
why
not
are you trying to turn the Earth back a little bit?
Yeah, good question. I don't know.
Right.
But the interesting thing is, I didn't know this. So allegedly, from my research, Arizona and Hawaii do not partake in time changes. They just leave it as is all year round.
I could see that.
Yeah. So they're like, fuck it. We're not doing this. No. We don't want anything to do with this.
I saw this thing. Did you hear that thing about the... So Hawaii, I guess there's a certain... there's a few people that kind of want it to be like Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Not necessarily an American state.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Hawaiians, local Hawaiians... hate that they're American state.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't like that. So what's your point? Where are you going with this? Is that it?
Well, supposedly there's this like sect of land where this guy has this new Hawaiian government. And it's totally, you know, it's a few hundred acres.
Yeah.
And it's like the new Republic of Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of the holdout.
It was showcased in the Cameron Crowe movie. I don't remember the name of it, but it had Bradley Cooper in it. And he's in Hawaii. He's like a military dude, and he has to convince the local government who doesn't want any part of the, you know, America ways to, go along with something or other military wise. And these guys are like, they showcase these guys who are up in the mountains and they're like, fuck America. We want any part of it. Hawaii forever. Like, this is our land, motherfuckers. We don't want anything to do with you. And allegedly that group does exist where they're just like, screw you, America. We want nothing part of it. You came to our land, which is paradise, and you ruined it. You just ruined it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There it is.
Jeez, are you trying to emanate the dude? Like, you look more and more like the dude every time I see.
I know, right? So did
are you
wearing
see... a robe? It looks like you're wearing a robe.
I'm wearing
tonight.
A sweater. I'm wearing a sweater. I got a sweater on. It's cold here. We're supposed to get like 2 feet of snow on Tuesday. I don't know.
Oh, geez, that sounds terrible.
It's a lot of snow.
Can we talk movie talk?
Yeah.
You saw Get Out.
All right, you want to talk? Let's get into Get Out.
Well, let's not release any like let's
no
not
spoilers.
Any kind of spoilers. No
well,
spoilers.
Well, if there's a spoiler that comes up. I will say, or just say spoiler, and give like 5 seconds for people to tune out.
No, don't.
And then
don't
they can
come
back in.
Don't ruin it for anybody.
We're not going to ruin it, but if like we're talking about something, whatever, just go on.
I think you could talk about the movie without giving any spoilers, Dave.
I feel like there's enough people, like you get the good sense of what's happening in the movie, right? Yeah. Even if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. Well, I think like there was such a sense of unease the whole time I was watching it. Like I really felt like... at unease the
sure.
whole time.
Well, it started out like going right into that where it's like, all right, this is tense, and it kind of kept that up the entire time. I felt like it was a really good modern twist on a horror movie in the sense that it was different than every other horror movie. Except they still tried to throw in the, like, someone, you know, is walking around and then they'll throw in the big sound to scare you. I still despise that. I really hate that.
That was pretty terrible. There was like some big, like, just chords of music that I'm like, all right, you don't need that.
You don't need that. I feel like that's such a hack move on any horror movie that we just don't need it anymore. We understand that that's going to. But the funny thing is, like, going to a theater, how was your theater when you went to it? Was it loud? Was it, like, really talkative? Or was
it was quiet.
It was quiet?
It was quiet. And in every horror movie or every sort of suspense movie that I ever see, that I ever go to, there's always one point in it where I just scream like a girl.
I believe that.
Like, I'm just like, ah!
I believe that.
Like, or I'll do, like, a, oh, geez, or just something, like, where it, you know, they throw the chorus of the music that, like, bah, you know, it's
giant chord,
and it scares the shit out of
you. I believe it. You don't like horror movies, which is surprisingly surprised you went to it. What made you go to that?
It was good. I knew nothing about it, but I heard it was good. So I was like, all right, well, like, I'll see it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we went the night before my birthday as, like, a little, you know,
a little treat,
birthday movie.
A little treat.
So I was into it. No kids, you know, you're watching the movie, and all right, cool, let's get into it. And man,
did it make you, like, respect horror movies a little bit more, or was it just the fact that it was, like, it had to do with, like, you know, politics, racism, and all that kind of gave you the oomph to go see it?
Yeah, well, I knew it had some elements of that, and I kind of, you know, I liked it. I think
would you go see more horror movies based on going to see that though?
Maybe, but, like, I knew the right. I'm trying to think of which one of the guys did the right. Jordan Peele. Was he the tall one or the short one?
No, he's the short one.
The short. Oh, I thought it was the tall
one.
No,
it's
the
short one.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
Yeah. Which is funny because he's doing.
Crazy. Yeah.
Which is funny because when you watch this movie, the entire movie to me is a total wink and a nod through the entire thing. Like, I could every piece of dialogue I can hear him saying and it coming across as a comedic laugh. Everything had a wink and a nod to it, and it was like, I'm writing the most ridiculous thing that I can write because it's funny and it's fucking crazy that this can take place in today's society. And that's what I respected about it. So Jordan Peele's also doing I tried to get him on the show. That's not true, but he wouldn't come on our show. But anyway, he's doing, like, a tour right now, and I heard an interview with him, and he's married to a white woman. And a lot of people are asking him, is this what it was like going to her parents' house? And he was like, no comment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's a great, I mean, they're great writers because they are sort of like the tongue in cheek, and it's really sort of relevant and new and like, you're kind of like, all right, that's funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's true because it's funny and they can get away with it.
Right.
You know, like,
it's interesting to see, cause this is, like, his first endeavor into doing, like, a full directorial debut of a full feature. And he didn't do a comedy, you know, he did a horror movie, which is the exact opposite of everything that he's done so far.
Well, some of their skits were kind of scary. Like, he would play some of the scary characters where he could just, like, turn and you could see that evil in it.
Sure.
You know?
But it was also, it was like, you know, it was still meant to be funny. Like, it was horror, but it was meant to be funny, which is kind of the way I looked at this movie. Like, it was horror, but it was still meant to be, like, a tongue-in-cheek kind of funny, but also in a very racism type of way. And I felt like the acting in it was really good. I really liked the dude who played the lead role, and I can't remember, Keener, the mom, she was really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although go ahead.
No, it was good. It was a good movie.
It was good.
I'd give it a go. I think you should see it.
See it. So the one thing I wanted to talk about is I went to go see it in Brooklyn, and I love seeing movies like that in Brooklyn. Well, not all the time, but sometimes. So when you go to see a movie like that in Brooklyn, it's just like, you have ladies in there that's like, don't go in there. it's so amazing to watch everyone around you. The one thing that I do notice, though, more and more, is that, like, these people, the people in the theater, can't wait through the entire movie without their phone. Like, they will get on their phone, like, halfway through it and just, like, run through it to see what kind of messages they got and then turn it off. And then, like, you know, an hour later, they'll do the same thing. It's just, like, they can't make it without their phones anymore. They need it. They're junkies for their phone.
Yeah, we've turned into a phone junkie society.
We are. I mean, here I am. I just got a new phone. It took me 2 hours today. But I like to base my movie critique. I have a new way of doing it, and it's based on Not like two thumbs or five stars or 10 stars. It's how much would you pay for that movie? So how much did you pay for that movie?
$20 to see it.
Per ticket?
No, for total.
So like $10 $10.
Yeah.
All right. So how much would you pay out of that $10? Would you say $10? It's worth every penny?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a $10 movie.
All right. $10 movie. I think mine was 15. I would pay like 12.
12.
Yeah. I wouldn't give
seems
it
like a good movie price, like max movie price.
Yeah. I know, wouldn't give it the full
for
15.
An experience.
Yeah.
For a 2 hour, you know, it just, it's tough. You know, like being a homeowner and, you know, that's sort of a dad, I've been looking at bills lately.
Yeah.
And phone bills are kind of one of those things, and cable bills.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, all right. So I'm paying, you know, $100 a month for, you know, pretty good internet and, you know, a few channels.
Yeah.
And I was like, $100, that's $100 a month.
It's a lot.
I think a lot of other people are spending $100 to $150 on their sort of cable and internet package.
Yeah.
Which just seems nuts to have like that much money a month going to an to a corporation. You know, like need internet.
You need internet.
But I think like $50 should be max what you pay for internet and a few channels.
Sure.
You
know, like totally.
The basics.
But that's the thing where
month, that's like what normal people can afford.
But that's the thing about phones. Like we should not be paying $100, $150 for a phone that, you know, that should be like $50 too. There should be caps on these things.
Yeah.
But that's a funny thing about where we're going as a society. People go, well, I need internet. I can't live without internet, but I can live without cable. So I'm going to ditch that. So like that's where it's kind of going now.
Yeah, well they want you to get the cable package too cuz they want you.
Oh yeah, they want
you dialed in. They
want
to know what shows you're watching.
Sure. Mm. Going back on the movie cuz I feel like we just jumped right through that thing really fast. And there was one question I wanted to ask you about the Get Out. What situation would you walk into where you would feel that way, where you would feel like on the outside, where everyone's looking at you like you're different, where everyone is kind of looking at you like you're like some kind of circus freak? What situation do you walk into where you automatically don't feel welcomed?
So the one time I thought I was going to die was in Cambodia. A buddy and I, Larry and I, went to Cambodia, and we flew in. And we were in this taxi, and we were on our way like to the hotel, and we're on the highway. It's a nice highway. And the guy's like, "Oh, there's some trouble on the highway. We're gonna go take the, back road, local road."
Oh no!
I was like, "Oh, what's wrong with the highway?"
let's stay on the highway.
What's wrong with the highway? So we go down like this dirt road, and it's just slow, and it's like super dark. And he's like, "Yeah, here." And I was like, "Oh man, this could we could totally just get like." You know, you fly in, we're a couple American dudes.
Yeah.
You know, you never know.
Nope.
But it was a beautiful country. You know, long story short, we had a great time. But like that one moment, I was like, we could die.
So was he like, we're going to just stop real quick at my buddy's house or anything like that? Or is
No. He kept, the car kept going. We got to our place.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it's kind of like, oh, you're on the highway and it's nice and it's brand new and whatever. And you're like, oh, we're going to get off of here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, we're going to take the fun route.
Yeah,
but it was actually kind of. I mean, it was actually a great experience because we got to go off.
Off the beaten track. I totally get it. I was in Thailand once.
Not a good idea because I guess there's still landmines.
Oh, there's definitely landmines in Cambodia. Yeah. I was in Thailand once, and I got into one of those tuk-tuks, which is like the bicycle or the motorped.
Motorcycle.
Yeah, motorcycle cab thing. And I get in and we were like, yeah, we're heading to I think we were going to see Thai boxing. We're like heading to Thai boxing. And I had the map up. I knew where we were going. I knew what was going on. And he started to go way away from it. I was like, where are you going? And he's like, we're going to stop by my friends first. And I was like, no, we're not. And he's like, come on, he wants to sell you something. And I was like, no, he doesn't. I do not want to buy anything that your friend is selling. He's like, it's okay. It's okay. We'll make it quick. And I was like, I pull over. I'm getting out. Like, I am not sitting in this thing where you want to bring me to some weird dude's house that I don't know that it's your buddy. What are you doing over there? Picking your nose?
Sorry. Why you got to call me out on that, dude? Come on. That's like the one rule of radio.
That's not the one rule. That's not our rule. We have other rules, but that's not our rule.
Yes, I picked my nose just a slight bit. Sure. Just to
I think God. As far as like situations that I'm never really truly comfortable in is if I walk in, because look at me, you said it before. I look like I'm one step closer to the dude every day, right?
Yeah.
When I walk into a room and it's full of suits, I feel like they're all out to get me. Like they're all going to like eat me alive.
Look at this picture.
This guy. Look at this picture.
Look at this picture.
That was
yeah, you definitely don't go the corporate route.
No.
You're not that.
Not the corporate guy.
You could. Like you could look really nice in a really nice suit.
Sure.
Like a well-fitted suit.
A well-fitted suit. Not like a Spicer suit.
Not the baggy linen
right.
suit.
You love that linen suit, though.
Oh, God. I want like $3,000 to go to a nice couple men's suit stores and just buy some nice suits.
All right.
Show up in some really nice suits. But
right now,
I don't have $3,000.
Well, when you get a little bit of money, let's do that, right? This is what we'll do. I'll fly to Colorado. Me and you, we'll go get some suits and we'll look good. Then we'll go fly from there to like Vegas and spend a weekend in Vegas where we just live in suits. And we just live it up, and we just do
just
it right.
Go to the pool in suits.
Yeah, in suits, and that's what we do.
Ah, man,
be a good time.
Suits are great. I have one good suit. That's my problem. I need a few. You know,
right? You need a few. Well, you spend a lot of time in suits because of the work you do.
It's true.
I do not.
I try to dress nice.
I do
try
not.
Try to. You don't.
No,
you're in the back. You're kind of in the.
I feel very uncomfortable around people in suits, but that's me. That's all me, you know? So in the news today, this South African surfer spent 93 days on a stand-up paddleboard and did 4,050 miles between Morocco and Antigua. It's the first time it's ever been done.
You're kidding me.
Not kidding you. When
that's
I saw
life.
This.
That's the life. You got sunblock.
Sure.
You got calm waters.
Yeah.
You can do it.
So
like, that's the other, you know, humans can do amazing
things.
They can
do some good things.
If you just don't have, you know, jobs.
Like women around. Saying like, you got to come home, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing, though. When you think of stand-up paddleboard, what do you think of?
I think like the yoga, the people that do the yoga and
right.
they just kind
of like.
It's like
maybe 10 feet long. It's like a couple feet wide. Listen to his stand-up paddleboard. Air quotes this. It's a $120,000, 20-foot-long paddleboard. It was called the Impafish, and it was solar-paneled and include a satellite weather forecasting gear, GPS, an autopilot system, a satellite relay to the internet, and a tiny cabin where he slept at night.
Well, you want the autopilot.
Sure.
When you're sleeping,
but
you just don't get caught on some like drift.
Sure.
And you're just losing time.
But I mean he's not paddling during the autopilot. So that thing is he did not paddle 4,000 miles. And he had this luxury paddleboard. So it's not like he had
so
a difficult
you could
time.
Do it?
I'm saying, I could do it. I could
do
this. I can't stand up on a paddleboard, but I could stand up on this.
We've done some canoeing trip.
We have
where there's been some portages.
Oh, the portages.
Oh, man.
Some good portage trips, though.
Those are good. Well, you got to think about the weight. That's why I like sort of the back camping, which I haven't done backpack camping in a few years. But you got to think about the weight. Like,
yeah.
What do you want to bring in?
Sure.
You
want to be light.
Bring it out. Yeah.
You want to be light. Depends on how long you go for. Like one time I went for a week. You got to bring in a lot when you're going for a week. You need water. You need, you know, like food for that entire week. You need gear. You need, you know, if it's going to rain, if it's going to get cold, if you need to change. So you got to bring in a lot of gear. But the awesome thing about I've always anytime anyone asks me about camping, I always encourage canoe camping. Canoe camping is the best because you get a canoe and you throw all your shit in the canoe. And you really don't have to carry it all that much. So you can really stockpile a canoe. Mm. And it's just the portaging when you're carrying everything for miles to the next lake.
Well, the canoes is – I love – oh, God. You know, this makes – yeah, I haven't canoed in a long time. This is actually making me miss a canoe because the
canoe
is
or
so
canoodle?
Peaceful.
Canoe.
Canoodle. We haven't canoed in a while. It's been a few years.
But yeah.
Pete, I got to call Pete Pigeon out. He was supposed to call in.
Yeah,
he said he was going to call in.
Text him.
I don't have his phone number.
What do you mean you don't have his phone number? How did it work last time?
He called in.
Oh, man.
Well, Well, then I lost my phone. I've gone through, this is my third phone in like 3 months. You know this.
Yeah, I know this.
I broke a couple phones.
I know. All right, so let's see. I have a couple other things that I wanted to talk about. So some hunter in Texas found, and I wanted to play this video for you. Maybe I'll send it to you later. It's kind of useless on the video, on the radio. But some dude in Texas, some hunter, found a one-headed, two-bodied pig in the woods. And it was just running, and it was like separated. You could tell it was like a conjoined twin that just never separated. So it had one head and two bodies. And it was the most bizarre looking thing I've ever seen. I got to send it to you. It was dead when he had it. So I don't know if he had it and it was dead first or if it was running around and he killed it. But I would have put that thing out of its misery. It looked rough.
Yeah.
Did you email Pete Pigeon? Pete Pigeon?
I messaged him. I sent him another, like, I said, Pete, with like a exclamation point.
Mm. All right. So here's
one.
He
said he was going to call in, so I'm going to send him a reminder.
All right. Cool. So people still want to call in. 718. We are Dave and Giggles. We are Dave and Giggles. We're here for the next like 20 minutes hanging out with you.
We're not asking for any money.
We're not asking for money. We're not asking for anything but to call in. 718.
We say we donate to people's campaigns.
I know.
And we don't donate to them.
You got to donate to that. Yeah. So we're 718-928-9732. I want you to call in, tell me your favorite Nintendo games. Call in and tell me whatever it is you feel like talking about, and we'll talk about it. One thing I wanted to bring up last week that we didn't get a chance to was phrases and where they came from. Where do you think chow down came from?
Chow down?
Chow down. Let's chow down.
I don't know, man. I'm like a chow chow, like one of those dogs goes
okay.
down.
You're on and,
like,
to something.
They just start, you know, they just chow. They're, blah, they're just like those sort of like crazy dogs that just want to like rip flesh.
So
they just chow down.
It's you're close. You're close. Yeah. So the use came from was first used in the U.S. military during World War II. Chow is a type of Chinese dog. And the term became a Western slang term for food due to the Chinese reputation of eating dog. So the Chinese reputation of eating dog, and they were like, let's chow down. So they were like, you know, eating the dog, chow.
Got it. All right. I could see that.
Yeah. Pretty weird one, right? Shit, yeah. Where shit comes from is kind of bizarre. Here's one. Hair on the dog that bit you. Kind of obvious, you know. You drink a little too much. The next day, the only way to get back to even, you bit the hair of that dog hair in the dog that bit you. Here's where it came from. This term for a hangover cure is another medieval saying, originated from the belief that once bitten by a rabid dog, the victim would be cured by applying the same dog's hair to the wound. The first use of it being applied to drinking was in John Haywood's 1546. Book, I don't know how to say that word. It's I don't know. It's an English tongue. It's English tongue. It was in one of his books. So there you go.
1546.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, hair of the dog that bit you. Yeah, those got to be some crazy times because that's like Shakespeare times, right? The 1500s.
Sure.
I like to think, like, you know, what was it like living back then?
You think you'd survive? I think you'd probably.
Oh no. I have to wear contacts. That's the thing. Like if. I can't live in any other time period but now, because back in the day, I would have been blind.
How many people do you think were blind back then? Do you think there was a lot of people who were like needed glasses, but they just suffered through?
Well, yeah, they didn't have like optical stores.
No,
we needed optometrists that you could just go and be like, all right, one or two,
obviously.
A or B.
But do you think people had stronger vision back then and we just are getting weaker and weaker and weaker? Or do you think that like it's always been there? And we just, it took Benjamin Franklin to make the bifocals, and then eventually glasses started to emerge.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Can't tell you.
Oh, that's a good, that's good. That's rich. That's really rich. Yeah. Did you get anybody to call, or is that it?
I think it's you and me, which is okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right, basket case. Where do you think basket case came from?
Basket case? Maybe when they had to like behead somebody back in the day, and they're just like, they're a basket case because like you had to behead them because they were just loony.
They're just loony. All right, here it is. Originally, this term was used by the U.S. military after World War I, referring to soldiers who had lost arms and legs and had to be carried out by others. So, like, if you lost an arm and a leg, you would just throw them in a basket and have them taken out.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
Jeez, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right, here's another one. Ready? No. Let me know when you get bored of these, because I love
they're
them.
Right. They're a little depressing.
All right,
they're just a little like you're. Like, I don't know if they're true, but they just started.
This is. I was looking on the websites, so they told me what these are. Getting sacked. Where do you think getting sacked came from?
Getting sacked.
So it's getting fired, right?
I think like the getting sacked. Something to do with like flour sacks or something.
Yeah, that's a good guess. The slang term for getting fired originated in France and alluded to tradesmen who would take their own bag or sack of tools with them when they got let go. So when they get fired, they had their sack and they put all their tools in and they walked out. So getting sacked. That's pretty standard.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
All right, ready? Here's one more. Dead ringer. Where do you think Dead Ringer came from? Sounds like it's going to be another morbid one, right?
Yeah.
It might be.
No idea.
All right. This word was used in the U.S. horse racing at the end of the 19th century. A ringer is a horse substitute for another or similar appearance in order to defraud the bookies. So Dead Ringer was a horse put in the place of another horse that couldn't run for one reason or another. And then the bookies would be like, if they could tell that it was a different horse, they'd be pissed off. So they want a horse replaced by that horse that looked exactly the same, i.e. Dead Ringer.
Gotcha.
Makes sense, right?
Got it. All right. I can see that.
Yeah. All right. Here's another one. You all right over there?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm just like, you're taking the show down a weird road, bro.
All right. Let's go wherever you want to go. We got 12 minutes left. What do you want to do?
You're just reading
I think they're fascinating.
You read off the internet.
I think they're fascinating things. Where things came from? You don't think so. All right, what do you got? What stories you got?
Oh, poker tells. So you play a little poker here.
We've played poker before.
Uh-huh. So last night was neighborhood poker night.
Oh, yeah?
$10 buy-in.
Did you buy in?
I didn't have $10 cash. I had $10 in quarters.
Oh, Jesus. You show up with $10 in quarters?
Yeah.
Oh man, you just look like the local fool showing up with
the
quarters.
The local yokel.
And,
everybody likes quarters. No, you know, quarters are great.
Did anyone ask you? Did you think we were going to be playing with quarters as chips? That's what I would assume.
No, I knew they were playing with like actual chips.
Okay,
but like you know, I don't carry a lot of cash lately. Lately, I haven't been carrying a lot of cash. So, you know.
Why not?
Because I don't have it.
The guy needs a gig. You need photos taken?
If you don't have it.
No, you can't. All right, so poker tells. You're playing poker, $10 buy-in with quarters.
$10 buy-in. And I'm just like, I know how I'm supposed to play every time I go to play it.
Yeah.
And like I was charging my phone. And then I'm Googling poker hand, you know, the chart to see, you know, who's got, you know, what the best hand is.
While you're playing? Straight.
No, before I'm playing, which is terrible. Yeah, I'm like this is terrible. Like I'm just a mark, you know.
You
everybody's
are
gonna
a
be
mark.
Like, all right, this guy's an easy $10 for the
Yo,
pot.
Dude, that good dude who showed up with all the quarters, sit at his table. I saw him Googling what was a good hand before.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, I'm charging my phone and, you know, losing money left and right.
I bet.
And I know like how I'm supposed to play. But every time I play the opposite way, because you really, if you start like raising your bet and then you get the flop and then you start checking, that's a sure sign that you got like
you got
shit
nothing.
Cards.
Yeah,
you, no, got, you nothing. Got nothing. And I'm like, oh, why am I doing this? Why am I checking? Because like it's all a big bluff.
Your tells must be so obvious. Like
they're terrible.
Like,
so when I got like good cards, this is terrible. I'm telling my poker. Yeah. Well, honestly, I don't like really gamble, so this is fine. But when I have good cards, I start flinging my wedding ring. I was like, all right, you know, like I got an ace. And so I'm starting, like, you know.
Man, you're just so obvious about everything.
So obvious. Yeah. Well, that's,
you know, I would love to sit at a table with you again. Love to sit at a table with you again. Man. So I don't want to bring up names, but this is interesting. So this girl I went to high school with, and this is a Facebook story. This girl I went to high school with, like a year or so ago, had a mental breakdown and was supposed to get married or something along those lines. Dude cheated on her. She had a mental breakdown, aired it all out on Facebook. Totally lunacy, crazy, yeah. All that stuff. Within like 2 months, she was back on Facebook and was like, we're getting married still. Crazy.
Yeah.
And so they were getting married and like everyone was like, cool. Like, you know that this was not going to be a good way, right? You know?
Oh, guys, this is a bad idea.
So like maybe like 4 or 5 months ago, they had a baby and, we had a baby. Everything is fantastic. Over the weekend, she put out a Facebook message. He just left us. Gone, goodbye, left us alone. And she had another mental breakdown on Facebook saying that he left us. And like, I just wanted to respond, why did you get back together with him when you saw this? That you could have seen this coming a mile away.
Yeah, smacked you in the face.
Yeah, he literally smacked you in the face. But yeah, I don't understand.
And then it just unfolds on Facebook, which is so weird that people's personal lives have sort of become stories now. And just like,
it's so bizarre. I don't understand. Like,
what the best story?
I try not to post on Facebook much anymore, but like the idea of airing all of your problems on Facebook seems to be like the worst idea possible. Why do people do it?
Just because it probably feels good. So just to let everybody know at one point, at one time, to be like, my life sucks right now. You know, like.
Do you think it's like the instant gratification of people being like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm here for you if you need me. I'm standing behind you. All this stuff that's like encouragement. Do you think they're that weak that they need the encouragement? Is that where it comes down to? These are questions you don't have the answers to, my friend.
Yeah, just we don't claim to be a
I do notice you're wearing your Radio Free Brooklyn t-shirt today.
I am.
It looks very nice.
Hey, listen, man, this is our hour.
Yeah.
This is our time.
It's our time. Down here is our time.
It's true. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't try to like air a lot of personal stuff out on Facebook. I try to keep it
Cool.
Keep it cool, you know?
Don't
I haven't
be stupid.
Gotten too political just because I'm like, oh, I just don't want to start like a I don't want to say that it sounds terrible, but conversation, you know, like a time consuming conversation on climate change with somebody.
Right.
You know, that I don't agree with. Like, I don't have time for that. We all know our opinions on the matter.
Well, totally. But, I definitely have been drawn into a few political discussions on Facebook. And every time, within like 5 minutes, I'm like, why did I do this? This is stupid. Because it's not proving anything. It's not changing anyone.
My time could be spent so much better.
Yeah.
Doing so much better things.
So many better things.
So many better.
So many better.
Oh, God. Buttered bread, man. Buttered I've been up bread. To some buttered bread lately, which reminds me I need to start working out.
Yeah.
But butter on bread is, you know, and I found a really good bread.
Yeah.
At Costco.
Uh-huh. Tell me
it's
more.
Great.
Tell me more.
It's like two loaves for like $6, and it's great. It's chock full of nuts and just like whole grains.
Chock full of nuts like the coffee?
No. Just like, you know, sunflower seeds and.
Yeah.
Grains and stuff, and it's a really good bread.
Yeah,
so I've been eating a lot of that.
Is that what you're feeding the boys?
What's that?
Is that what you're feeding the boys?
Just bread. Bread and butter. Yeah, bread, butter, and eggs.
Rough.
Tomatoes.
It's interesting.
Yeah. I need more greens, more greenage.
More greenage. Yeah, I think we all do. You know, we're all need some greens. We all need to work out more. These are obvious things. We just need to do more. But you know what? It's going to snow in 2 days. That's going to leave me inside. So, you know, what am I going to do? And here we are. It's going to get later. It's going to be brighter later, you know? So maybe we'll have the chance to.
It's so weird, you know?
Yeah.
They just changed the time on you. Here. You know, like how who does that? Who's like,
know.
Oh, no, guys, it's this time.
Yeah.
You know?
And like,
no, it's.
And it's weird because, you know, you have like the winter where it's obviously colder. It's going to be snowing. It's going to be dreary. It's going to be, you're going to get that winter blues, right? And then it gets darker faster. So it's going to make you even more depressed about the winter. Like, why do we do this to ourselves? It's like our society wants the winter blues to take place. Don't make it sunnier later. Make it darker earlier.
Well, if you're depressed, you're going to buy more stuff. You're going to be like, oh, you need this.
This will save your life.
This is what you need. Ah.
I know.
You've seen this. I've been like wanting to like buy a giant truck, which I know is a terrible decision. Like, I don't need a giant, you know,
you would look
crew
good.
Crab trucks.
You would look
I
good.
Would look awesome. Yeah. See, that's why you look great in the truck. Yeah. You look, but then I'm like, I drive so much that I would just burn through
gas
money.
I know.
Like, nobody's business.
You're a funny guy. Like, you're a guy who wants things. Like, that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But, like, you're a guy who wants things but also likes to, like, torture yourself into those things. So, like, last week we talked about you just going to an open house for, like, $1 million home. Like
$800,000.
Yeah. But like,
well, I told the guy at first when we walked in, because he's like, so what's your price range? And I was like, oh, bro, listen, I'm not here to buy this house. I just wanted to see the view. So he's got the view was the $1 million view.
Sure.
And so I had a nice chat with the guy. I could tell, like, you know, I don't want to say he was lonely, but like, yeah, he was just hanging out in this big house all day. You know, it's nice to like have somebody to talk to.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
and then that, I'm sure you've taken a test drive of some kind of truck.
No, I've taken a test drive of an electric vehicle.
Yeah.
When I had no intention of buying one.
No, none at all. Yeah. You're a guy who likes to torture himself into like the things that you want, and you'll just get a taste of it, a glimpse of it.
There's nothing wrong with sampling it and just being like, all right, what would this look like?
Yeah.
You know, how would this feel to have this? And I know, like, I do not have the money to buy a giant truck.
No.
And it would just be a bad decision.
Terrible.
But it's fun to think about and be like, all right, I could go off-roading and like drive over stuff and, you know, go up in the mountains and
right.
But then how often do I have time to do that?
Not at all. Like, but that's where you differ. Like, most people will just think, oh, I would love $1 million house. I would love a great car, but then that'll be the end of it. But you'll go and test drive them. You'll go and go to open houses.
Well, you could still feel like how it feels to be a millionaire.
You want
to
get the experience, if only for a moment.
You just don't get the payments.
Yeah. No, I gotcha. I get you.
I look at cars all the time, cars and homes. Like, if it says open house, it's an open house. It's a chance to see what they did with their kitchen.
So open house, you know, means come in. We want anyone to come in.
Well, I mean, not anyone, but just, it's just kind of like, hey, you want to come in and check out this house?
Yeah.
You have full right to just, you know, do it.
Yeah.
It's permission. It's like, it's something to do. You know, it's kind of.
No, I get you.
Listen, man, I look for exciting things to do in the suburbs, man.
I know you do. There isn't many things to do. There isn't many, and you got two kids to entertain all day long, you know?
So open houses, it's kind of like, all right, let's see if we can go in here and you guys can't break anything.
Yeah. Don't let them break anything. That'll be bad. What do we got coming up next, boys?
We're talking about inspiration tonight on Mouthfeel.
Inspirations on Mouthfeel.
Can I also say, by the way?
Yeah, get on here.
So my parents used to do to me what you are apparently doing to your children with open houses. And it was the worst. We would do it Sunday. We would go to church, and then we would go out to lunch, and then we would go to look at open houses. And I dreaded Sundays because of that.
Oh, Sundays with Mouthfeel, too. So it's
now I still dread Sundays. Oddly enough, I have to hang out with you. All right, we're done. You look good.
Inspirations coming up next.
Inspirations with Mouthfeel. You look good over there in your Radio Free T-shirt.
Thanks, buddy. I'm paying for it.
I know you
donated.
Are.
Donated.